Hey, Casey.
Hey, Jacob.
What do a prominent wedding planner's most complex and high-profile ceremony and a brotherly duo of gun-wielding thieves hunker down in the saloon from hell have in common?
I don't know.
Yep. Well, we're about to find out, because this week I watched The Wedding Planner.
And this week, I watched From Dusk Till Dawn.
And now it's time to make the movie connection. All right, and we are rolling. Here we go. Hello, everybody. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where we assign each other movies every week that we haven't seen, usually.
Yeah.
And then we sit down, we watch them, we come back together, and we discuss, we review them, and we try to find out if there's any way to make a connection between the two. Anything.
That's right.
Anything.
Any little thing.
Am I prompting this episode that way because these are going to be some loose connections? I don't know. You be the judge. No.
Yeah.
No, I actually found some pretty solid connections, actually. So
I'm glad I found one extremely loose connection. I genuinely had to really sit and think about it, too. I was really struggling.
It's tough.
So I'm excited to see what yours are.
It's, yeah, these are been particularly tricky. But, you know, I'm glad I got to watch The Wedding Planner. I might have talked about this last week, but I had, you know, I got the Peacock, which is that, you know, one of those free streaming services. And I saw
Shout
the
out
first.
Peacock.
Yeah, Peacock. I saw the first, like, 20 minutes or so. And was really into it, but I realized, I'm like, this is such a Casey movie, and such a one that she'd probably want me to watch, so I want to watch it for the show. And here we are.
Yay!
And then
I'm
Casey,
glad that
you watched,
watch it.
Yes, me too. And then Casey, you watched From Dusk Till Dawn.
Did That's
you
true.
Look up anything about it, like I said, anything like that? Or had
nope.
you maybe
per
seen
your request,
any of this?
Per your request, I waited and I didn't look up anything until after I watched it.
Got it.
And we'll get there when it's my turn.
Great.
But
oh, well,
I have
it.
Thoughts.
but you had never like even seen any like it like on TV or anything like that, like you know.
No, never. Okay. Like I've never even heard of this movie.
Oh no shit! Wow. This
until
is great.
I mean, you Perfect. Know, obviously everybody hears that phrasing, but
yeah, of course, right.
but like I didn't know that this movie existed.
Got it.
Perfect.
This is
very
great.
Interesting.
Yeah, two great stories behind the movies this week. All right. All right. So it is my turn to start.
Yeah, buddy.
So we're going to start off with The Wedding Planner. Here we go. In my own words, Jennifer Lopez stars as Mary Fiore, a renowned and even famous wedding planner. Like wedding planner has celebrity status in this world, which I loved. We're just like, hey, that's the wedding planner. It's like, what the the wedding planner, who was born to make couples' ceremony of love and commitment the most special and memorable days ever. After taking on a high profile and highly wealthy client, Francine Donnelly, played by Bridget Wilson, who I know from Billy Madison and from from Mortal Kombat, the original one.
Okay.
Mary's shoe gets caught in a manhole cover. Very modern fairy tale here. while a huge dumpster barrels down towards her. Fortunately, she is saved by Dr. Steve, a pediatrician who makes sure Mary is safe. Mary's awkward, kind of meddling friend, Penny, played by Judy Greer, invites the doctor to a memorable movie night, and Mary and Steve almost kiss in the rain. Very Oregon vibes. Very Pacific Northwest. Wait, was this set in California or something? Or New York? I forget.
I think New York, but, like, I don't know if it's specified.
Oh, okay. Maybe it didn't. Okay. Maybe but because I got some San Francisco vibes, too, especially
with the... It did feel like San Francisco with the hills.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so maybe it was.
Maybe. Well, they almost kiss in the rain. On Cloud Nine, Mary is finally going to meet with Fran's husband-to-be, Eddie, who turns out to be none other than Dr. Steve. The fuck? Apparently, Eddie is a nickname. And that's just the beginning of the awkward moments as Mary wrestles with her feelings and her own experiences with love and grooms like Steve. Adding to the Shakespearean complexities of the dynamics at play, Mary's father sets her up to marry childhood bully Massimo, played by Justin Chambers. Who will marry whom? Will Mary settle for Massimo, who proves to be smarter than he looks? Will Steve realize that unforgettable movie night was unforgettable for a reason? Or will the wedding planner stick to planning?
Love that.
That was the most epic of intros, I think. Look at that. Oh my god, we're at like 6 minutes with this bish. Woo!
I love that.
Yeah, that was epic. Like, but seriously, though, like, diving right in, very Shakespearean in ways totally. To me. Like, do you get that? Like, particularly, like, yeah, just when the whole Massimo comes back thing kicks off, I'm like, oh, shit, whoa, this is some, like, comedy of errors, like...
Yes, weird, yes, like, totally.
Weird, like, thing. And it's very Shakespearean in the play with the power dynamics. Like, Shakespeare was big on that. And that's why women dressed as men and, like, you know, disguises and stuff like that so they could get away with, like, saying certain shit because it wasn't cool back then to, like, you know. There's a lot of that going on. Like, I love, when they have to be together post, like, that crazy date situation and, like, she's got the jump on him, but then he's got the jump on her type of thing. Great stuff. And this is McConaughey back in the rom-com era of McConaughey, right?
Yes.
So what is that era? Like it, so Failure to Launch, right?
Failure to Launch, The Wedding Planner, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is my favorite McConaughey rom-com performance.
Oh, really? Not this one. Okay.
Don't watch it. It's on your list.
Yeah, right. But not this one. I'm surprised because I gotta say I was quite taken with McConaughey in this one. Like, he had the charm. Like, especially given
that... I love him in this too.
Yeah, yeah. Especially given that nowadays he is kind of more the sleazy guy. Like,
totally.
He's playing these characters that are kind of unlikable, but you do like them because he's a good actor. Yeah, because he's a really good talented actor. But I wasn't feeling that back then, I guess. Like, yeah. But he is doing the rom-com thing beautifully here, you know.
Yeah.
It was interesting that he's like a pediatrician. It reminded me of New Girl a little bit, you know.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like, yeah.
With Dr. Sam.
It's Dr. Sam. I wonder. No. awesome. But yeah, it was a pretty fun experience. It gets kind of crazy near the end, though, I gotta say.
Yes, I agree.
Like, I'm like, okay, wait, no. Like, because that's when it becomes really paint-by-the-number rom-com, where it's like, okay, you gotta have them potentially marry this one, potentially marry that one. No, you know what? Nope, let's end up together. Like, wait, what? Like, I would like to see a rom-com nowadays, more realistic, where it's like, you spend years apart, like, with different people and all this stuff, and then end up, like, How I Met Your Mother kind of did that in a way, like, eventually
you movie, make your way to the person. Love, Rosie does that.
Oh, Love, Rosie.
There's shout out Love, Rosie. It's a good movie. It's a better book.
Better book, I see.
Ugh, the book is, like, amazing.
Oh, nice.
But... But the movie's good, and it has Finnick, the guy that plays Finnick in it.
I love Finnick. I love that actor.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't remember his name. It's Sam something.
Yeah, maybe put that on the list. That could be interesting.
I will. Yeah. I'll definitely add it, because it also has Lily Collins, and I love her.
Oh, fuck yeah. Great. Lily Collins. Wait, Lily Collins, what?
Phil Collins' daughter.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
Yes.
On that note.
Are we ready for some Q&A?
Yeah, Q&A. Hit me with that Q&A.
Okay, so this is the amazing Jennifer Lopez in her full 2000s glory.
Yeah.
What did you think of her performance? How do you feel about her as an actress? Because it's very divided.
I think I was in the school of, like, you know, I feel like it comes with that stigma that a lot of musicians who go into acting, and particularly like pop stars like this get into acting. It's, you know, stick to what you know, just be a pop star and this and that. And granted, like, we've had some bad experiences with this.
Sure.
Like, oh gosh, what would be an example? Justin Timberlake, awful.
Britney Spears, also not a great actress.
I didn't want to say, but, you know, like, fair enough. Like,
I love her.
Because she's great. But, yeah, it is an example. Like, she isn't an actress, and that's okay. Like, she is not. This is a case of, no, I think she might be maybe one note, but it's a note that works. Like, there's those actors out there, though, where it's like you kind of like them to be themselves, and she's got that going on. She's very chill. Like, I love her voice is very controlled and very
cool. I like that
and
too.
Collected. She handled this part very well, and she even, like, handled the comedy well, you know? Like,
I think she's good.
I actually really liked it. I'm glad that this was kind of my kickoff into that. Like, I guess I'd seen her in other things, but I guess not like this. Not like
another one that came out, like, really close to this time was Made in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
Where she plays a maid, and it's almost like a Cinderella story, because she's, like, pretending to be rich, you know? And that's a really fun movie too that I think she does good in.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I really like her. I find her really compelling, like, as a person.
And those moments that hit hard, like when she has to give the speech to Fran in particular, was really
That was good.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Yeah. So no, I think she's got the chops.
Awesome. I love it. How did you feel about Massimo's accent?
So
it's not good.
So I'm not the thing is, I am not, I'm an ignorant American, and you
That's
know
okay.
what? Like, just throw an accent at me. Sure. I'll accept it. And I kind of felt
really
like they
funny.
Were kind of going for that cartoony factor, I guess, like,
totally
to a point. So I did kind of, I guess I wanted to believe that. No, I hope that this guy really is Italian, because otherwise this is offensive, maybe, potentially.
So
he's not.
I, like, knew him. Well, when I watched
Grey's Anatomy,
first few times, yes, I, like, knew him as this guy. But then later on, I rewatched it after I had watched all of Grey's Anatomy. And I realized that he's just, like, this American. And I was like, God damn it. Because you can't, like, unhear his normal voice once you hear it, you know?
Right, right. And see, I guess I'd seen him, I barely remember him, but he was in the movie The Musketeer. He plays D'Artagnan. And that was a weird movie, though, and it had Tim Roth as the bad guy in it. It was a weird one because it was Musketeer time period, but it was all very kung fu, like, Wu style,
right?
Stunts and stuff like that. So it was weird. But yeah, I guess he was in that. And he's going to be playing Marlon Brando in an upcoming show that I have to see now. Because, once again, Italian.
Oh my God. Well, that's fun.
It's about the making of The Godfather, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you find Mary and Steve to have good chemistry? And do you think that they're good people?
See, that's what I wrestle with, is the ethicalness of their behavior from the get-go, really? Like,
right. Right. I like
Mary seems the most ethical out of all of them, I guess. Yes. But she eventually does like give in is the problem, I think. Well, and the fact that she doesn't speak up about like, no, he's not I'm not marrying him. We're not engaged. Like she lets that roll a little too long, but I guess, you know, movie has to happen.
Yes.
But, yeah, I questioned that a lot. But I did like their chemistry, actually. I thought
they
McConaughey...
They had good chemistry.
Yeah, they had it going on. Like,
totally, I agree. Some people criticize Matthew McConaughey's performance in this movie, and I disagree. Wow. Like, I think he's so good and so charming.
Again, maybe like, it's because I'm not familiar with this era or whatever, but I thought he was doing pretty good.
I think he did excellent.
Yeah, this has, like, 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I know. People are so harsh on rom-coms.
Yes, that's true. And this era of rom-coms, too.
I mean, even new ones, like, they don't generally review well because critics, you know, like, rom-coms, you can sort of expect what's going to happen, and there's tropes that belong in them, but you watch the rom-coms for those reasons.
Yeah.
And, like, the critics are just criticizing them like they're, like, an Oscar-worthy movie, and it's like, no. You know, these are what they are, but they're fun.
yes.
Like, I enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, critics are downers. Yeah, they.
I definitely think that they both, like, he definitely emotionally cheated on his fiance, even if he didn't physically.
Yeah, right. No, that was, he tried.
And him telling her that he saved an old lady instead of telling her he saved
like,
a regular person. Like, there's some, you know.
He made a convincing argument, like, by the time they get to the horse part or whatever like that, like, it kind of made a little more sense. But in the end, like, no, yeah, she was right to stand her ground where that was concerned and everything. And he eventually does admit to it. It's like, no, you know what? I couldn't stop thinking about that. It's like, yeah, right. I was right. Like,
right. Don't make me feel crazy. Yeah.
Yes, gaslighting some bitch.
Yeah. How did you feel about Fran's character?
No, I love her, and she, like I mentioned, I loved her in Billy Madison and in Mortal Kombat, honestly, but I liked that I got to see her, and she was almost unrecognizable, actually. It took me a while to realize, because she's grown up in this one, those movies are a little further back, those are 90s movies, and no, she looks great, and she, did great. No, I thought, and I'm glad that she did eventually realize that this wouldn't be right, because her heart wasn't in it. So
again, I think like one of the reasons which the 13 going on 30 did this too, and it's like sort of a trope for me, rom-coms that I like, they don't villainize like the character that you're not rooting for,
they didn't villainize
her at all, and I like that so much.
Yes, totally. Like, right. Yeah, I was worried that they might have gone that way when you found out her past or whatever as a criminal bookie or whatever, which is pretty badass. And she could have totally pulled it off. But no, yeah, I agree. I prefer that as opposed to, there was a trope there for a while where it was like, you're supposed to hate the one who isn't your leads, you know?
Right.
That's stupid. It's unrealistic.
Yeah. This movie, though, overall, like, really 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Like, I always, when I'm watching this, I'm like, oh my God, the fashion in particular is just, like, so early 2000s.
I never noticed those things, but yeah, I think I can relate. Well, because we got long sleeve sweaters, we got glasses.
Turtleneck at one point, I think.
Uh huh. Mary's style.
The glasses, tank tops or tops that tie around your neck are like so late 90s, early 2000s, like spaghetti strapped tank tops. They one of them wears in this, and I'm like, oh wow.
Right, right.
I love it though.
Yes,
love of the course. Fashion.
Judy Greer. You know, I gotta say, I love Judy Greer. Not my favorite Judy Greer performance here, though.
That's fair.
Yeah, a little meddling, a little too like cliche meddling friend character. Like,
this is what I mean, though. I mean, like, I love her so much, and I don't know why she never got like that lead performance.
Right.
They always wrote her this like same, you know, blank best friend.
No, she could have been the lead for sure.
Yeah, she's so good. Yeah. And she's a good supportive friend, and I know that she always puts a spin on things to like make her performance as the best friend stand out, which I appreciate, but right. She's got a new movie coming out that I'm excited about.
Oh.
His face from New Girl, I think, was like a producer in it.
Nick?
Jake Johnson. Mm-hmm. Jake Johnson.
Nick.
Yes, Nick.
It's just Nick.
Lady of the Manor. Oh, you know what? It's not Nick. It is Justin Long.
Oh, the Justin Long. I like that guy. He's got a podcast.
Me too.
And he's acted in a few things.
Yeah, he's great.
Generation Z would be like, oh, the guy who has the podcast. Like, no, you... No,
assholes.
He is...
Yeah.
Oh, Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks. Get out.
Right, right.
Anyway, bye. What were you saying?
But that movie has to do, like, Judy Greer plays a lady who's a ghost who's haunting this, like, old manor.
Oh,
and it's a comedy. And I'm excited. It looks good. Like, I watched the trailer and I thought it looked really funny.
You're
going
to watch the
crap out of
that.
I think it came out today.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You're going to watch the crap out of that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, time for our favorite questions.
Oh, my gosh. I want to get, like, a little sting phrase to go right there. Like, you know, from those 60s, 70s era movies. Favorites!
Oh, yeah. I would like that. Add a little pizzazz.
Yeah.
What was your favorite scene?
The tango.
The tango. That's a good scene.
Really good stuff. They were both dancing very well. Like, McConaughey is a natural. Like,
so good.
You can see it in Magic Mike as well.
Shout out Magic Mike.
I can't remember if it was done in the single take or there were some really nice extended takes, which meshed really well. But regardless, like, there were definitely extended takes that, you know, it showed that they really had to know their script and the choreography, and it had to work out nicely. Like, if I were McConaughey, I'd be intimidated as fuck. This is Jennifer Lopez. Like,
I was going to say, she is, like, very much known for her dancing and her choreography,
yeah. So.
But he did good. He definitely held his own.
And I like that it was all motivated. The lines were motivated with it as well. So, you know,
yeah.
Very stylish. It was very theater to me, so I appreciated it.
Totally. I love it. What was your favorite performance?
I mean, Jennifer Lopez is the standout here, but I... shitty accent aside, I liked Justin Chambers.
I love him as an actor a lot.
Mossimo surprised me. It was like, oh, shit. Like, he totally hijacked that guy's birthday, though. Fuck. Like, That kind of made me mad. I was like, what? This guy's having
so
a birthday.
Rude.
And you come in here with your goddamn, your dollhouse and your ring and your... I'd be pissed. Like,
yeah, how rude.
You hijacked my birthday, bro.
No, but he actually did a good job. Bad accent aside. And you're right. The accent is just part of the campiness. Like, it's funny.
Totally. Yeah. We do the male bonding.
I really love the scene when they're both like in the gym together.
Yes.
And they're like running on the treadmill and then he's doing pull-ups.
It's so weird. Like, yes, that montage was enjoyable. Like, yeah,
it was. It was random and weird, but it was fun.
Weird and funny as hell. Yeah.
What was your favorite quote?
I mean, and it's weird that it's Mossimo that has it, but most people I think like this one where it's like, love can't always be perfect. Love is just love.
Yep.
And now, so people can understand it, love can't always be perfect. Love is just love.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like both, personally.
Right, right.
That's awesome. Yeah. What would you rate, and would you rewatch it and recommend it?
Yeah, so rate-wise, I give it a solid 3.5 out of 5.
That's good.
You know, that's pretty dang good. Definitely not above average, I guess, for this movie. I was surprised.
I was actually shocked when I saw that as well, because, like, I rewatched it, obviously.
Yep.
And I was just like, what is wrong with people? Mm-hmm. But I think part of it, too, is what you said earlier, where some people are just like, no, she's a singer. She needs to be a singer. Like, I think some people went into it that way, and then they let that color their review.
Yep. Yeah. I think so.
And, you know, rom-coms are just really harshly rated always. Trust Rotten Tomatoes with rom-coms.
You're right.
Because the critics are not nice.
Yeah, that's true. True enough. It is not... Yeah, particularly when it comes to critics. I feel there's a market for it, clearly, because they keep making these movies. Like, yeah.
Yeah, a huge market for it. People love it.
So critics need to get off their high horse.
Yeah, seriously. I need to get over it.
Now, did she do the movie Monster in Law too? Is that J-Lo?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I also really enjoyed.
So it's different though. That's not a rom-com. That's a...
It is sort of a rom-com. There's romance with her and her fiance.
Oh.
Or husband, I guess, by the end of it. But
here's my question.
Really, it's two women fighting.
Yeah. Here's my question. Is there such a thing as just a straight romance in this day and age at all?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Now?
What would be an example?
Currently?
Yeah.
Sure. Hold on.
I mean,
I've got two examples in my head, but I just don't remember the names exactly.
Sure.
One is your last, I think it's called The Last Love Letters. The last.
I guess Little Women would be considered a romance of sorts.
The Last Letter from Your Lover. That's definitely, like, a romantic movie.
But not a rom-com and not a...
Not a rom-com. You could say it has drama. Mm-hmm. There's some drama in there, but I wouldn't say...
It's not... it's not Nicholas Sparks' idea of romance.
It's not like that, no. And then the Guernsey Literary and Potato Pie... Society.
Whoa.
Is another one that I would say is just a romantic movie.
Holy crap. These are interesting. Okay. Interesting.
Those are both
titles.
Great movies that I could put on your list.
And
really
strictly romances. Interesting. I would be interested to see.
Yes, very
that.
Romantic.
So 3.5. And then rewatch. I mean, maybe. Like, I think so. Yeah, I would rewatch it probably.
Sure.
Recommend, yes, both. Like, yeah, it's.
Yay.
I think, I guess the ratings, like, had me questioning, but no, I think I'd probably rewrite. It's a little long, I would say.
It overstays its welcome just a little bit.
Yeah, but honestly, the first half actually is really solid, I'd say. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. Connections here. So the three three easy connections. So obviously the movies that they show at the museum, which is a great idea. And honestly, like, hey, we did that shit. We're doing that shit now. Like,
yes, I love that.
Flirtation Walk, which was made in 1934, Two Tickets to Broadway, which was in 1951. And we do see a little Antiques Roadshow, very time period, and you know, actually like still around.
Yeah.
Some connections. So here's what's interesting is it says been the subject of a $50,000 question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's been referenced in a lot of shows, including Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Two Broke Girls, and New Girl. Like,
yep.
You know, like it likes to be used in TV. It's a culturally like easy to reference and stuff like that.
Yes.
And yet 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, folks.
Yeah, fuck
Insane.
Those guys.
Insane. But yeah, those were basically the connections I found. Interesting.
I love it.
Good stuff.
Love it.
So I think it's time for us to tread on into the Dark Knight. It's a dark night. Oh, God, yes. I love that opening song.
It's great.
Sorry.
It is great. I love it, too.
Good stuff. The soundtrack of this movie is actually really good.
I agree. I really liked the music. I was definitely, you know, dancing along and singing along.
Yeah, solid, right? Very hopping and bopping. Yes. All right. So, Casey, tell me, in your own words, a little something about a movie called From Dusk Till Dawn.
What can I say about this film? I thought I knew what I was watching. A movie about two criminal brothers played by Tarantino and Clooney on the run, trying to get over the border and into Mexico. Along the way, they murder, steal, and take an RV full of hostages. They make it into Mexico, and they go to Titty Twister to meet up with Miguel and start their lives in Mexico. Here's what I didn't expect. The fact that Titty Twister is, in fact, a secret coven of hungry vampires. Now they must all team up to survive these killer vampires.
What the fuck?
This was like a crime movie, and then it was like a vampire movie. It was like, two movies that they attached.
It was absolutely, and I'm telling, and it is actually like a strict like line, like it seems. It's like the first half is this movie.
Literally.
And then the second half is this movie. Okay.
I was so shocked. Like, I was like, what the fuck? What is happening?
And okay, so it's interesting, this kind of set up what they would go on to do later on in their careers with that whole Grindhouse experiment, which was where they had Planet Terror, which was Rodriguez's movie, and then Tarantino did that movie called Death Proof, and they featured those movies like twin, like back to back, like an old double feature Grindhouse experience.
Sure.
And some people hated it. Like, I didn't ever see... I kicked myself for not taking advantage of it because they actually did it at Hilltop 9. I should have seen it. Both of those movies are pretty solid. But it was... Yeah. So these guys are friends. Like, Tarantino wrote this one.
Right. It was his first screenplay that was ever purchased, and he sold it for $1,500.
Yeah. At the time, he was just counting his lucky stars. Like, he was just sure. Like, hey, like, you know, like, yeah.
You get out there how you can get out there. Exactly. Sometimes it's actually not about the money.
Right. And because he, at that, like, this was one of his earlier scripts that hung around for a while and eventually came back around to, I think, post Pulp Fiction, actually. And, you know, something like that. Because there's that holy trinity of the first Tarantino round of Tarantino scripts, you know, that, you know, it started with True Romance and then Natural Born Killers and then finally Reservoir Dogs, and Reservoir Dogs was the one he actually made. So, and then From Dusk Till Dawn was one of those, like, he was just, he didn't know if he was going to be just a writer, you know, a professional writer in the biz, or if he was going to break into directing. He honestly wanted to get into acting, but the public said otherwise. But but you know, they did pretty good. They had good chemistry going on. So I love that you had the real experience then, because yeah,
I absolutely did, because I've never heard of this movie, and you told me not to look it up, so I like didn't look it up. I definitely did have. I thought I knew what the movie was, you know?
Right. And didn't it feel like a Tarantino movie, right? You know?
Right. It felt like, you know, a good, like, I like his crime. Dark humor. That's always, like, enjoyable for me.
It's one of my, honestly, I rewatching it, I'm like, this might be one of my top five favorite movie openings of all time. Like,
oh yeah, the opening is so good.
Because that kill is just so memorable with the guy catching on fire and then landing on the popcorn, and the popcorn,
and then the popcorn
popping.
Starts popping. Yeah. Oh my god.
And then they exit it, and you have your typical badass, you know, explodey walk off.
Totally.
Tarantino
totally.
Said like he had, you know, it was like huge for him, and he, you know, it was exciting as hell the day that they had to do that shot. I believe it.
I love that.
Well, you know, I think we are ripe and ready for some Q&A, you think?
I think so.
Like, so given that this is basically two halves of a movie, first half being a Tarantino movie, second half being a Rodriguez movie, which half did you prefer?
I don't know, man. Because, like, I like that this movie exists. It's like this weird movie.
Yep.
I like that these two things were put together the way they were. Because I really liked the first half of it. And I thought it was really, like, they were doing a great job. It was, like, a little funny, suspenseful, kind of dark.
Yeah.
But, like, I did love the titty twister. Like, that was, like, a very, very fucking fun. Cool place, like, that they went. And then I like vampires and stuff. So, of course, I, like, thought that that was really fun. And they
they handled it was really over the top. And, like, so that, the gore was fun in a way.
Yes, totally. Yeah. In the same way that, like Zombieland, like...
Yes.
Right? Like, it feels kind of like that.
Right. I agree. You just appreciated both. Like, you can't appreciate both halves. Like,
yeah, I thought it was so fun.
You kind of, it has to be analyzed that way, though, because, like, I don't know if this makes a coherent movie. Like, but I guess it works. Like...
It's a lot. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot. Because on one
they
hand, you have, like,
in the end.
Two brothers that are criminals. Like, one of them is a really fucking terrible person.
Yeah.
I haven't been so happy when somebody died. like, that was fucked up. And then I was like, oh, shit, that's Tarantino.
Yeah.
but he did a really good job, actually, I think, in this performance.
I was going to say, thoughts on Quentin Tarantino's acting?
I actually thought he did a good job. He played the character that... you know, is like an awful person and makes your skin
believably
crawl.
Like, yeah,
but
right.
He did it really believably. He did.
And there were moments of likability here and there, like, you know,
for sure
sprinkled in too, but then, like, you would be reminded, it's like, oh right, you're
it's like, especially like when you see the fondness that his brother has for him.
There it is. Like, right precisely. Yes.
Yeah.
And that was, and thank God that was there. Like, that chemistry was actually pretty solid.
Oh. It was. Clooney did a really good, I mean, he's a great actor, but did a really good job of, like, you know, showing all of his emotions, like, right on his face, you know, so you could tell what he was feeling without him saying anything.
Right. And that perfectly leads into, so thoughts on George Clooney's performance. anything beyond that? Like, because this is my, spoiler alert, like, this is my favorite George Clooney performance. Like,
he did so good.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a good actor. I usually love him, except for in Tomorrowland, I didn't really care for his character.
Right. Okay, and by the way, take a listen to a Disney Channel Surfers episode of Tomorrowland. Pretty good episode, honestly. And
it is a good ep, yeah.
Yeah, we do wrangle with that, though. It was interesting because we were, I think, prepped and ready to, like, yeah, because George Clooney does give
really
solid,
like,
performances.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But no, it just wasn't fitting. Like, I just don't know if George Clooney fits Disney, too. That was the thing.
I think that is the thing. You're right. But in this, I was, like, just, like, really pleasantly surprised. I could see how young he is, too. Like,
yeah. Hot
you know,
Clooney.
After the fact. Oh, yeah. after the fact, I, like, read that Tarantino thought it was funny to, like, hire him because he at the time was known for doing ER, where he saved people's lives, and in this movie he's, like, putting people in the ER or he's killing them, you know.
Right. I love that. That's very Tarantino way of thinking.
But it's fun. I agree.
Yeah,
I'm like,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. And he did a really good job. Like, I was super impressed.
I've
with
never
him.
Seen him do a role like this again, really, where it's a criminal gritty criminal type where you
totally.
Know like kind of unlikable too, but you know, in that hot way.
In that hot way.
Yeah.
And like, you know, yeah, we see him like play with his emotions a lot, and like you sort of have the illusion that he's kind of just trying to get out of the crime business, like make enough money to like live in Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, so you're sort of like,
yep, that's, and
you
that's,
know, rooting for him.
Yes. It's one of my favorite scenes is when Richie has, very much killed a recent hostage and who knows what else. And he's, like, fortunately we don't see any of the gore. We just see it in like flashes, which I thought was really smart on Rodriguez's part.
I think that they did so good with that also, like, because that's not something I wanted to watch. Yeah, so I'm glad that, like, it showed us, okay, he's a bad guy, right?
You and know, we see we it on George Clooney's face, and then we get it in, yeah, little flashes. And I love that he timed it with the blinks, right? Like, that was, yes, that was very smart. And then, yeah, and then George Clooney breaks down where he's like, wait, is this my fault? Like, you think this is what I do? This is not what I do. Like, this is not what a professional does. And Tarantino always loved to play with this idea in that early writing where it's like there's professionals and there's psychopaths. It's like, yeah, you know, and this is an example of that. Seth, professional. Richie, psychopath.
Right. Absolute psychopath, yes.
Yeah, and he just, and it just never sunk in. Like, if only we would have had maybe that catharsis with Richie, if he would have learned that and, like, yeah, something like that, but we never really got that, you know.
But that's kind of part of the reason I like it, is because, like, they're like, no, we're gonna make this character, we're gonna make him unlikable.
Yeah.
And, like, you'll have these little peaks of, like, you know, sort of caring, but, like, he's not a character you're meant to care about. You want to dislike, like, him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, hey, man, like, you know, I hate to be this guy, but I will point out, like, who got the Selma Hayek lap dance? Like, you know, come on. Like, who got the bragging rights?
God.
And Selma Hayek. Beautiful. Holy crap. Yeah, like, you want to cry. Like, it's like, what is, like, inhuman, like, beauty, like, going on
she
here.
Is just, like, I mean, she's still beautiful, but holy Jesus.
And that's the thing, she is still, like, what, she's got the same, like, yeah, she looks the same, like,
yeah, she's still stupid hot, but but, like, she's just so young here, and, like, you know, you can tell that she's not, like, a super experienced actress yet, you know.
She didn't get a lot of dialogue, but, you know, she I mean, did she need it, you know, like, you know,
no.
Yeah,
I did read that she had, like, a major fear of snakes before this role.
Would not.
And she was going to turn it down, but then I think Rodriguez told her, oh, well, Madonna's going to do it anyways. And then she, like, went into therapy for 2 months to get over her fear of snakes so that she could take it.
Which is kind of crazy, kind of, I don't know, a little left up on Rodriguez's part, but...
Yeah, super fucked up, but
ultimately, worth it, I guess we got this performance out of it.
Like, you know, I never thought Dancing with a Snake would be so sexy, but
yeah,
she does it. Holy Jesus.
Between her and Britney Spears, like, yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
It's rocking. Okay, given that this is directed by the same guy who made Spy Kids, which side of his director personality do you like? Kid friendly or bloody?
Well, I sort of feel like I've grown with it, right? Like, when I was a kid, I would have preferred the Spy Kids, which I still, like, stand by as being good.
You liked Spy Kids, yeah?
Ah, yeah, I loved Spy Kids.
Did you see any of the other ones, or just, like...
I saw 1 and 2, and that was it.
Was 2 any good?
I think that the CGI was so distracting in the second one that I don't remember enjoying the movie that much, because it was, like...
What
in the height of, like, cheesy, terrible CGI.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that one was Spy Kids 3D, so, like, we also got these little 3D glasses
to
watch that with. I don't know. I don't remember it being excellent, but I liked the first one a lot.
Yes. First one's pretty solid. Because you got Carlo Gugino. Yeah.
Yes. But I probably would prefer this side of his directing as an adult. Because, like, this was captivating. It was an easy, fun thing to watch. It was fucked up, yes, but, like, I enjoyed it.
He directed a movie called Predators, which is a sequel to the Predator franchise. It was actually really good. It's got Adrian Brody as a badass, which a lot of people don't like, but I'm like, I think it works, you know? Like, he's got a lot of pent-up aggression because of people like you. It's just like, you can't play badass, like... Well, fuck you, I'm playing a badass.
Yeah, the hell I can't.
and actually, he directed one of the best episodes of The Mandalorian in season 2.
Really? Really?
Yeah, it was the one where Boba Fett comes around.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and he will be directing more episodes of The Mandalorian. So
that's so cool. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So, pretty cool guy. And, like, yeah, him and Tarantino go way back. They have a similar... There is nobody better to direct a Tarantino movie than Rodriguez, really. But it's good that it wasn't a full-on Tarantino. It had that vampire element at the end, I feel, that he could cut his teeth on. Yes. And he's like, ooh, I like this shit. Yeah, I can do this. I can do this one.
Totally.
So I think that was a great working relationship for them. I'm glad that they didn't really do it again. It's like, part of you wants them to do it again, but it's nice that they do have the thing that they do now where it's like, we make our individual movies and we just promote each other and, like, you know. Like,
yeah, I love that.
You know, that's great. These are a far cry from the Twilight style of vampires. What do you think about this style of vampire?
Yeah, I like the style of vampire. I prefer the ones that are a little bit more...
I like the happy medium. Interview with the Vampire. That's my vampire.
Interview with the Vampire is great, yeah. Yeah, because these guys, like, they look very human-esque. They act very human-esque. And then when they, like...
Transform?
Are being a vampire, they look like a monster. And then they can't talk and stuff, you know?
And it's weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
So all of that was weird, but I did appreciate the fresh take because it's, you know, a little bit different and it's kind of hard to find different vampires at this point.
Yeah. Right. I do like the ones that are like, this is purely animalistic. Like there's no like, yeah, it's not like, and I'm not daintily drinking your blood. You know, this is purely like, right. I need to fucking sustenance. Like,
I did like what she said when she was just like, I'm gonna bite you, and then I'm gonna feed you on rats or something.
Yeah.
And then she was just like, and you'll be my dog.
So you're gonna, like, be called Spot now.
It's pretty good.
And apparently that response was improvised by Clooney, which, again, like, you know, again, they are of this age, of this school of thought, I think, at the time, where it's like, you know, that's not really cool, but...
Right.
But it is funny as hell.
It is, and I also read that, like, Tarantino wasn't thrilled with that, but they had already put it in the trailer, so, like, they couldn't cut it out, you know.
Really? Quentin, you are unhappy with the line of dialogue that was not your own? I love you know, and he's unabashedly being himself at that point. Like,
I said, that's what you gotta do.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm director Tarantino, so, you know. Okay, so take away the vampires. Would you visit a club like the Titty Twister?
Yes. I mean...
It's pretty cool.
Does that make me a weird person? Like, from the outside, driving by, I don't think I would stop in.
Because of the bikers.
There was a lot of motorcycles. Yeah. And then also, like, I will, you know, the big robot that was, like, pinching her nipple. That was weird. sign. I guess it was a sign, not a robot, but still it was moving.
Still. And they are very, right.
But, like, you go inside and you see all these gorgeous women dancing everywhere and these beautiful, you know, some whatever they're wearing, like, the little bits they're wearing is beautiful, and I liked the live music.
Live music,
that was good. And then, like, I would go there just to see Salma Hayek dance with a snake. Like, love that.
Right,
that's
badass.
I love, like, belly dancers and stuff, and she did a lot of belly dancing moves in that dance that I thought were really good.
And it's funny to watch George Clooney in it, because he actually might have had the better view, because Quentin Tarantino's got the front and everything, but George Clooney got everything behind, and she's working those hips, baby.
Yeah, buddy. And, like, I'm not a foot person, so, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to put her foot in my mouth, even though she's, like, a goddess.
True. Me neither. But, you know, again, Tarantino, like, he had, like, you know, he's got that locked away.
Yep.
Time of his life, I bet.
Time of his life.
Yeah. You know, I went to a burlesque show where it was Tarantino themed, and somebody did that thing and did the full on, like, you would never do that now. But yeah. did that.
That's amazing.
It's pretty badass.
I love burlesque. So yeah, cool.
It's great.
And that this does sort of feel burlesque-y in a way, you know?
Well, especially, like, again, there's no club that would do that, I feel like, unless it's, like, fucking badass, like, Cali or, you know, something like that, or, yeah, outrageous like that, because, like, on display everywhere, and, like, yeah, I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah. Very interesting. Your best friend or family member or loved one is a vampire. You have to decide whether you kill them or let them go or let someone else do the job. What do you do?
I mean, I don't think you can let these vampires go because they'll just eat you. I personally don't know if I could kill someone I love.
Right.
So I would really hope Josh would be there because I know he could do it if needed for survival purposes. Not that he's a cold person. It would haunt him forever. But
yeah, right.
I mean, if it was like me or them, I don't know what I would do because oftentimes I freeze in that situation. Right. And so I might
I'd just be end up
dying by default. Yeah. Or turned into a vampire myself.
So there you go. Okay. So, you know, in one point of view, almost better.
But I mean, like, if I was in that kid's position and, like, I knew I was going to have to kill my family member, like, I would have tried to, you know, just because of survival purposes.
Yes. And at that point, like, I think you can sort of make the switch where it's like, well, it's not them anymore. Like, really, at this point, like, you know. Especially, yeah, again, with these vampires, it's like you said, like, see, now what if it was like Twilight style, like,
or I wouldn't kill a Twilight vampire. They're vegetarian.
Oh, yeah. Right. I fucking forgot.
I mean, they eat never bringing Twilight up
again. Jesus Christ. No. But no, yeah, that's true. I know. I would. It'd be way too hard,
like,
man.
Does the person still have a conscience? Do they still have a soul? Are they trying to be good?
Yep.
Those are the things that I would need to know. And, like, yeah, if they were still trying on some part, even if they slipped up and killed a person here or there, like, I would try to work with them. But
I feel like that's the decision George Clooney kind of made, was like, and I like what he said too. It's like, hey, he's not your brother anymore. It's like, hey, I think that's a matter of opinion and I don't give a shit about yours. Like,
yes, love that.
Yeah. And he did. I love that he wrestled with it. Like, he had to decide,
yeah,
you know.
He was trying to think, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And really, again, really beautiful. It was, yeah, it was, the love was there, you know. Yeah, good stuff.
It was, yeah. They did a really good job there.
Yeah. So, I think it is time for our favorite questions. Favorites! So.
Nice soundbite.
Yeah. Right? Favorite performance?
So I have to give it to Clooney.
Right?
He's just like, he's just
and
too good.
And it is
good.
An ensemble. That, like, everybody kind of had a lot of moments, you know?
And, yeah, if I picked somebody from the RV family, I think Kate was, she did a really good
she
job.
She actually did good. Juliette Lewis. She, what was that?
George Clooney just really stole the movie for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Like, yeah, it was a fully realized, complex character.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Signature look, that tattoo. A little outrageous, but, you know.
Pretty yeah, cool. A little outrageous. But it looked great in the end when he was wearing the black vest with it.
Yeah.
Like, coming, like, it was coming down his sleeve, you know. It looked cool.
Fuck yeah. Favorite scene?
Obviously it was Salma Hayek dancing. Ow, ow!
Yeah.
That's what I wrote down.
Right?
I also did really like the RV scene.
Oh.
When they're, like, trying to go through customs.
Oh!
And
suspenseful, yeah.
The bathroom. Oh, yeah, it's suspenseful. And, like, when George Clooney, like, hit, you know, knocks his brother out. Like, that whole thing was, like, kind of comical, and it was also, like, you know, it was good.
Yeah, it was really good. And I love later on where it's just like, yeah, you fell. I don't know, man. You fucking, like, you said your hand hurt. It was fucked up.
Your glasses
broke
when
you fell.
It's
like, yeah, it broke.
It's like, oh,
fuck, man. It's like, do not bring me down with your bullshit.
Yeah. So good.
Love their bickering. Favorite line of dialogue?
It's from Seth, and
Okay.
I don't want to hear anything about I don't believe in vampires, but I believe. Oh, sorry. I don't want to hear anything about I don't believe in vampires. I believe with my own two eyes, and what I saw is fucking vampires.
Yeah.
So
Nice.
good.
Again,
Because
there's
it
a lot
was
of
like set. That was like the fun part of this is that it was set in our world where like you don't believe in the mythical beings. It wasn't like set in a fantasy world where you know they exist. So that was kind of the fun thing was like that whole situation for sure.
Again, and really solid, like, kudos to Rodriguez, solid storytelling where it's like we figured we got what are the rules here?
Yes.
And yeah, that was really well established. And that whole team was what a ragtag bunch.
Totally.
Like, my goodness. All right, would you rewatch, recommend?
Yes and yes. I think it was really fun. And I like Tarantino movies, but usually I'm sort of a one and done person. Like I watch them and then I don't
Sure.
rewatch them because I tend to like not watch too many like crime or violent movies.
Right.
Like I
And they're pretty
enjoy them
intense.
sometimes, but I like comedy most,
Yeah.
But this one was really, really good. I really liked it and I would definitely watch it again. It was violent, yes, but like not in the way that some of his movies are.
Yeah. Right. And
And
it.
like you said earlier, like what we talked about, like it was kind of the like almost funny violence.
Yes.
Like it wasn't, but like you it was sort of like satirical in the way they were killing the vampires,
Right, I mean, the guy throws him on four, flips a table over and throws them on
What do you
four different legs. That's one of my favorite
Yes,
kills.
exactly.
It's like,
Exactly.
we're really committing to that. Okay.
This is happening. So good. Oh, so good.
Have a dick gun. Oh, God.
Yes, the di sex machine.
Yes. And then.
Also, that guy apparently can really use the whip, and like everything he was doing was like him using it. So I
Yeah.
thought that was cool.
It did look pretty legit. Either that or I was like, man, wow, he is recklessly flipping that thing
Nope, he can do it professionally,
Yep.
I guess.
Thank God. And apparently he was like really punching people. Like, calm down, bro.
I heard.
Like George Clooney even. I'm like, wow, don't know. He is like that face, man. Like
Yeah, he's got a really expensive face, bro.
And how many stars out of 5 stars would you give this?
I'm giving it 4 stars.
Woohoo! Me too.
I
Solid.
enjoy it so much. Yeah, it
Yeah.
was so fun.
Really good. And again,
It
like,
was like,
yeah, go
oh,
ahead.
sorry. It was just so like it's one of those instant cult classics. For
Yeah.
me, like I didn't grow up watching it. I never even heard of it, but I watched it and I felt like I was part of this random group of people who have seen this movie.
Right.
And that's fun,
Yeah.
like this would be really fun to watch with a group of people.
Yeah, definitely. And especially if they don't know the twist. Like, what the fuck?
Totally.
Yeah, very much so. And there's like a bunch of sequels to this. I don't like it. I'm not interested in any of those, because they're not even done by the same people, but
Isn't
yeah.
there like a video game too?
There's a series.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about a video game. I'd play the shit out of it.
I think there might be, but it could be based off of one of the
There's a
older
Reservoir Dogs video
games.
game. I liked that. Yeah.
Yeah, from Dusk Till Dawn video game.
Oh shit.
It came out in 2001.
Oh.
It came out. The video game is based on events that transpire directly after the end of From Dusk Till Dawn. So
Yeah. 2001 though,
it was
not a good era.
on Windows.
Nah.
It does not look like good graphics, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, I'm good. No. Well, awesome. So now, oh, any connections for you? Oh yeah, no. Does not look good.
For this one, no, not really.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a pretty unique film.
So this is tied to the Quentin Tarantino verse, I would say. So it's weird because it features that sheriff character who features in the Kill Bill Volume 1 movie and also in... Oh, shoot. He was in Planet Terror, even, I think. And he was in Death Proof. That, yeah, which is really good. Have you seen Death Proof?
I don't think I have.
I think you'd really like that one. It's, like, all-female.
Add it to my list.
It's an all-female cast. Like, yeah. All right. So it is somehow tied to that. So it's interesting. And I can't remember if it's the fictional universe of Tarantino or the real universe.
yeah,
it's got to be fictional because there ain't no way he's gonna accept that vampires exist in his real world. So the fictional right. universe. Well, awesome. So now I think it's time to make the connections between both movies.
Yay!
All right, Casey, what do you got?
I have a real loose connection here. All okay, right.
Let's hear it.
Sorry.
See?
Losing my... Okay. Both films feature a female character who was sort of helpless in the beginning, but strong by the end. Mary and Kate.
Okay.
Because Mary, like, she was a strong character, but she was weak around certain things, and she acted helpless multiple times. And same with Kate. Like, she definitely found her footing and, like, was able to, like, stand alongside everybody fucking killing vampires at the end.
True. And I almost thought that she was going to run off with Seth. I'm kind of glad she didn't, though. That would have been a weird dynamic. That's.
Yeah, I'm glad that it didn't happen that way, but I thought that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, pretty good. So here's what I got. Both feature Latin American actors raised in the United States.
Yeah,
J-Lo. That's true. Rose raised in New York, whereas Danny Trejo, you know, Cheech Marin are from California, you know, Salma Hayek and all that. So,
yes,
there is that. Both feature sexy dances. That tango's chain, pretty hot, and then Salma Hayek, pretty hot. and both feature dick jokes.
Oh yeah, because the pecker. When they're holding the pecker.
Yep, in the wedding planner with the statue. I mean, that's an extended joke. And then, yeah, and then you got Sex Machine with his dick gun.
Sex Machine with his little dick gun. What a weird place for a gun.
And, like, somebody pointed that out, it would be like punching yourself in the crotch. Like, it's not an effective, not a good weapon.
Yep.
But Rodriguez, you know, yeah, Rodriguez... Yeah.
He's
got a type. He's
yeah.
He's not fully developed, maybe.
Like, okay.
And then it's got cylinders for the balls. Like, okay, all right, all right, Robert, go make Spy Kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are
awesome.
The connections I've
got. I love it.
So now I think it is time for our recommendation.
Sure. This week I'm recommending a podcast. It's Dolly Parton's America.
Oh, Dolly Parton's America, a podcast. Ooh, interesting.
Right. It's so good.
You've listened to it already? You've listened to it already?
I haven't listened to the full thing yet, but I started it, and it's like a 9-part series, I believe.
Oh.
And... the podcast host is really cool, and he, like, has just sort of, like, come to realize, like, how big of a pop culture icon Dolly Parton is.
I mean, for real, yeah.
And, I mean, she's, like, the person that everyone likes, like, regardless of political views, regardless of, like, where they're from, people... outside of this country love Dolly Parton, you know.
Oh wow.
The drag queens love Dolly Parton.
True.
And she loves the drag queens, like, yes. I mean, like, so there's just like a lot of like interesting sort of phenomenon for like a country singer to be like,
yeah, that's true, because she's,
you know,
I think liberal thoughts when it comes to Dolly Parton, not conservative, like, you know,
right. And she was like definitely raised, you know, during a conservative time. Like, her early songs are all ballads about, you know, women getting beaten or getting left.
Right.
Like they were back then.
Yes, I've heard that there's a genre of songs for that. So, yeah.
Yep. Our grandpa used to call them cry in my beer songs. Oh. This is a cry in my beer song. but it's really, really interesting. And in the first podcast episode, they talk about sad ass songs. So like her first, you know, couple of albums where she calls them sad ass songs.
Nice.
And it's really interesting, like, just to hear where she came from and how she became like the icon that she is now. And they talk a bit about feminism and like what that means to her and if she considers herself a feminist and things like that too, which was really an interesting conversation.
Damn.
Yeah, I highly recommend it, even if you don't like love Dolly Parton, which you should, but even if you don't, like, it's a really, really fascinating, there's like so many different things about her that you just don't know that have affected like the culture here in the United States for sure.
Wow. All right. So what's it called?
Dolly Parton's America.
Nice. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right.
I am going to recommend, you know, we are in the midst of spooky season at this point. I think it is high time, if you haven't already, go out and track down a box of Count Chocula or Frankenberry. And, you know, enjoy a bowl, because it'll, like, if you're in the right mindset, if you're a weirdo like me, it'll take you back a bit. You know, it is sugar cereal. It's nothing special, folks, but it is kind of special. Like,
yeah.
You know, and watch some old Halloween specials, you know.
Also, people, you can go check out our podcast last year during Halloween. The Boy Meets World special that we did.
Yes.
Was it a watch along? It was so fun.
Yes, I think so. Was it? Maybe.
I don't remember. Not, I know we watched enjoyable. It together regardless, yeah. But it was so fun.
Yeah, that and Step Monster actually gets a lot of listens. I love seeing that.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, like, let us know what are some of your favorite spooky movies for maybe next season.
That's so fun.
You can let us know via our email.
MovieConnectionPodcast@gmail.com.
Also, you know, we've got an Instagram, so you can follow us there at MovieConnection.com. Or at The Movie Connection, one word. Or you can follow us individually. Me, at Jacobine Watson.
And me, at Casey Schwartz.
We got a Facebook, so you can check us out there. Definitely give us a review and subscribe on either Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, buddy.
It would be most appreciated. So now I think it has come to our favorite part. This is where we assign each other the movies for next week.
Yes.
We're getting close here. We're getting near the end. You know, this is episode 19.
Yeah, so we have, what, three more to go?
Yep. So we're getting close. So I'm going to recommend... So, Casey, you are going to be watching the movie called Ghost World.
Ghost World.
And you might have noticed a theme. I've been, I try not to stick too hard to a theme, you know, but I just happen to have all of these kind of spooky-esque movies going on. Like, I've thrown vampires at you. I've thrown mechanical skeletons.
Yes, that's true.
And now I'm throwing ghosts. Maybe. You be the judge. You'll find out.
Maybe.
And make sure you watch the one with Scarlett Johansson in it, because there might be another Ghost World out there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm gonna write that down.
And Thora Birch. So what do you got?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
That's an animated movie.
It is. It is, but it's good. Just trust me.
Well, where am I gonna find that? It's not even available because there's that whole Sony thing. God dang it.
It's not on Netflix anymore?
Oh, I'll have to find out, I guess. Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the unknown.
Into the unknown. All right. So we will be trying to find connections between Ghost World and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Holy crap. This will be interesting.
Good fucking luck.
Hey, you don't know. You don't know. Actually, I do know. I know a big connection, actually.
Oh, excellent.
Yep. All right. Well, everybody, this has been great. Highlight of my week. Hope you guys will join us next week for this interesting episode of the Movie Connection.
It's gonna be weird.
We are a proud member of the NY City Podcast Network. Be sure to check them out. It's a huge community of podcasters, so check them out.
Hell yeah.
All right, everybody, take care. We will see you then. Ta-ta. Bye-bye.
Bye.